Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, if you would, please. We're going to kind of review, finish, and then kind of start another portion here of the commitment of our time. And just to kind of help us understand that this valuable resource that we have, this unrenewable resource that we have, ought to be committed to God, first of all, but secondly, stewarded wisely. That's something we need to all work on. Many of us are very good at stewarding our time, but I'm guessing that we all could be better at it. Indeed, or we could make some improvements to it, perhaps, as we grow in the Lord. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, we're going to read just a few verses here as we read through Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. It says here in the Bible, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him." As I mentioned last week, we are talking about the time that we invest in our family. This is important for all of us at all levels to understand. You understand that as we grow, of course, we look back at the time we could have invested, right? And we sometimes lament that, right? Most often we do. But you have to understand that we can't, I'm going to use a common phrase, we can't cry over spilled milk. All right? Della, where are you at? Della, you can't cry over spilled milk, okay? I say Della because Della spills almost at every meal something. So she has a lot of spilled milk in her life. Right, Della? Yeah, she does. Okay. And there's no sense fussing about the spilled milk, right? Get it cleaned up, okay? And then try not to spill it next time, all right? And so you understand that as we have already seen years and days and months and et cetera go by, they're in the past. That's time already spent. And this when I counsel people, and I've counseled children, I've counseled teenagers, I've counseled young adults, I've counseled married people, I've counseled single people, I've counseled middle-aged people, older people. I've talked to lots of people about this particular subject. And here's the thing that's the same for everyone. We can't do anything about the past. The past is the past. Good or bad, right or wrong, good decisions, bad decisions, mistakes, successes, it's all there. It already is. But now we have to look to what we have and where we're going to be able to be successful. And I can't do anything about those things anymore. I can pray. I can make apologies. I mean, I can do those things, but there's nothing I can actually do to change it, because it can't be changed. We can try to make it better. We can try to overcome. But I was talking to someone about dealing with people. I'm like, look, all you have to do, all you have to realize is when you're dealing with somebody and they bring up, well, you were like this, and all you can say is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I was like that, but I'm trying not to be like that anymore. And you can't say, well, you shouldn't talk to me that way because I'm not like that anymore. But that's all they know. So, I mean, okay, it's done. So now you have to take the next step and you have to try to mend those fences. And you have to try to, you know, if you will, rebuild those bridges and try to redeem the time. But here's what we need to understand as we're continuing to talk about our families. The family unit, whether your kids are grown and out of the house, or maybe you weren't able to have kids, but there are other people that you can influence and invest in. Maybe you still have kids at home. Maybe you're dealing with grandkids. Maybe you're waiting to have kids, or maybe you're a kid and you're, you know, looking perhaps toward the future and what it might be like to have a family and such and so forth. But the thing is that the family unit is something that God loves. God wants the family unit to succeed. He wants the family unit to be successful. He wants the family unit to be one, not only with each other, but with Him. Okay? And so we talked about that a little bit last week. We talked about the husbands having time for the wife. And that's very important. And I told you my shortcomings and how I'm trying to continually trying to rectify them because it's a life's work. Amen, gentlemen? Okay? But I also talked about also the wife having time for her husband. So I need to make time for my wife. My wife needs to make time for me. That's important for a husband and wife to make time for each other. Okay? The husband and the wife then together have to make time for God. This is not going to work if I just make time for her and she makes time for me and then we spend all our time on something else. All the rest of our time. We each have to make time for God. And listen, couples, it's best if you can personally make time for God and then as a couple, you can make time for God. That's important. It's important to your relationship. And it's something that you should participate in. I mentioned some verses to you last week in closing. 1 Peter 3 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. And let me just take a little time out there. How can you know them if you don't spend any time with them? All right. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. With the reference to the wife, it says here in Titus that the women, that these older women, the aged women, may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You understand that the husband and wife need to spend time together and they need to spend time with God. And then we read here in Ephesians chapter 6 because I wanted to address the children. Hello, children. How are y'all? Okay. Just okay. Amen. Some of you are good. You're really talkative tonight. Children need to have time for their parents. Now, the parents need to have time for their children. The Bible tells us here in Ephesians 6 to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. By the way, that takes time. In Proverbs 22, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So the husband has time for the wife. The wife has time for the husband. The husband and the wife have time for God, but the husband and wife have time for their children. This is all very important. Okay? But the children need to have time for their parents. Now, this one is often missed. Okay, it's assumed, but it's often missed. And here's what I mean by this. I'm going to stay over here. I, as a father, am going to take the time to invest into my children. All right? That does not count as your time with me. That counts as my time with you. See, just like the husband having time for the wife, that's my time that I have for her. That doesn't count as her time for me. Y'all getting this? Yeah. So, here's what happens with the children. They receive the instruction from the parents, right? They're with the parents. They're being taught by the parents. But that's the parents' time to invest in them. And then the kids go off and just do whatever the kids are doing. Kids, you need to have time for the mom and dad. Isn't that interesting? How many of you have never thought of it that way before? Yeah? But isn't that true? Children need to nurture a relationship with their parents. If you go through and read about Proverbs, it talks about my son, right? Attend thine ear, incline thine ear. Okay? That takes some effort from the children to listen, of course. But to provide and to do what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 5 and Ephesians 6, to obey and to honor thy father and mother is an important aspect. You can honor your parents, of course, by obeying, right? You can honor your parents by listening to them. But you can also honor your parents by spending time with them. Now, just hold on. I'm going to bring this in all together here. So if love is spelled T-I-M-E, and your parents love you enough to spend time with you, how are you showing your love to them? Okay, one way is to obey them, right? To listen to what they say. But how about you spending time with them? I'll give an example of my little girls. My littler girls, they like to spend time with daddy. Okay? And then they grow up. And they get busy. But my little ones, they still come. If I'm sitting in a chair, they still come and they want to sit on my lap. And they want to read me a book. Okay, right, Del? Where's my Della? There she is. Flora's in the nursery, so I can't. But Flora and I spend a good 15 minutes every morning together. I go get her out of her bed, and we sit in the recliner with her pillow and her blanket and her books, and we just sit there, and she spends time with me, and then you know, other times they'll come and such and so forth, but. But can I tell you, kids, that's so important to spend time with your parents. And by the way, to want to spend time with them. You kids may not realize this, but as much as your parents get after you and fuss at you and, I don't know, all the different things that parents have to do, they really do love you. And they really are glad that they have you. You say, well, it doesn't seem like it, or they sure don't show it. Well, that's complicated. But here's the thing. How are you showing your mom and dad that you love them? Because here's the thing. It may be easier for a child to show their love for their parents by spending time with them than it is for a teenager to do that. But guess what? Teenagers should. And then, of course, you grow up. You graduate. And you go off to college, or you get married, or things like that happen. The time for your mom and dad just kind of dwindles. And then, one day, your parents will grow older. Well, that happens every day, doesn't it? But to the point that they may need some care. Or they may need some assistance. Etc. They may want to live at your house. But the truth is, if we're going to truly honor our father and mother like we should, through all of these phases in life, our childhood years, our teenage years, our early adulthood years, and our parents' declining years, we should spend time with our parents. Now, I'm thankful to have a good relationship with my parents, but you know, I probably don't spend as much time as I'd like to with them. It's been a little easier these last 2 years because they come and see us for a few months. And that's very nice. But we need to not take this for granted. Has anyone ever wondered why family units aren't as strong maybe as they used to be? I'm going to submit to you tonight that our family units are not as strong as they used to be because we're spending our time elsewhere. The husbands are not spending as much time with the wife. The wife is not spending as much time with the husband. The husband and wife are not spending as much time with the children, and the children are not spending as much time with the parents as they used to in years gone by. Can I get an amen there? I mean, if you don't see it in this society today, then you're blind. Because that's what I see in a society today. That everybody is too busy for their own good. And what then is lacking? Our family units are weak. They're weak. And they need to be strengthened. They need to be strengthened. Solomon says in Proverbs 1, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. In Proverbs 4, verses 10 through 15, Solomon says, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. I hope, families, that you understand that God wants the family unit to be strong. In Deuteronomy 6, it talks about the word of God being everywhere in a home. And how it ought to be all over the place, in our minds, in our hearts, on the doorposts, when we rise up, when we go to bed, everywhere, it should just be in our families, saturated in our families. And that happens when we order our families how God would have us to order them. Now, as a strong family unit, here's something that we can do. Oh, here it is. I found it. Now, it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Here's something that will make families stronger, and that is a family that serves God together. And worships God together. And prays together. And reads the Bible together. Hey, goes out soul winning together. Attends church services together.
attends church activities together, doing more things together, especially together with God, is how God wants the family unit. So if I'm going to say that if a husband spends time with his wife and with his children and with his God, he will be a stronger husband, a more wise and competent husband, a husband that's following what God wants. And then if I say that a wife that spends time with her husband and her children and her God, then she's going to be that way, right? And the children that spend time with their parents and with their God, right? That's going to be a stronger child. And then the family unit that does this, it's going to, do you see how it's all the same method? It's all the same process, because that's how God designed it to be. It's important for families to be a part of the local church. I'm thankful that since I entered into the ministry in August of 2005, my family has been with me every step of the way. And as far as church service goes, we pretty much do everything together. Even coming here to Wiley, we do everything together. If there's work that needs to be done at the church, yes, as the pastor, I'm responsible to make it happen. But guess who I call upon most of the time to make it happen? My family. Now, I don't do that for the reasons you might think that I do it. I do it because I want my family to participate in that. And you know what? Many of you in the church family, you've been asked from time to time to do things here at the local church because I want your family participating in it too. Because it's great to participate in the work of the church. It's a joyful and wonderful thing. And let me just tell you this. To this day, where's Clara? There she is. Hi, Clara. Are you sleepy tonight? No, you're not. Okay. I just didn't see your eyes there. Clara, every time we come to the church, if we're going to clean for something, set up for a special event, she wants to go. She loves being here. And she'll be carrying something that's twice her size, dragging it across the floor or whatever. You should see here, there's those big padded chairs in the gym. You know, you like doing that, don't you? Yeah, she does. She loves it. And when I tell her she can't go because she has to do something at home, she cries. She's devastated. She wants to go to church. She wants to be there with us doing the work of the church. I love that. I mean, I almost hate it when she cries because I want to let her go. It's like the other day she really had to finish up one of her Bible verses for school. And I think it was Saturday. Wasn't it Saturday? She wanted to go help set up for things and at the church. And I said, no, Clara, you have to stay home. And she was just devastated by that. But, you know, I'm glad that she's that way. I'm glad that for the most part, my kids are that way. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know that David said that he wished his family would love the word of God and love the house of God and want to be there in it. And that he says in Psalm 84, he says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be still praising thee, Selah. It's important. We know in Hebrews it says that we're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You understand that all through the book of Acts, where did they most of the time start these churches after they went to the synagogues and preached the gospel to the Jews? They ended up going to some Gentile's house. I mean, we have examples of Cornelius and Jason and Lydia and all these people, even Timothy's family and Philemon. All these different churches had a church, whole, churches in their homes to start out with. But their families. I have records here. These verses about whole families being baptized and saved when they believed in Christ. All I'm just trying to say tonight, and we'll get to the next point next week. I wasn't sure if I was going to have enough material, but I guess I did. Like that's ever a problem, right? But I guess I really want to drive home as we kind of conclude this point. Yes, we need to individually have time for God. Husbands, wives, and children. But as a family, we need to have time for God. We need to be in the house of God. We need to be serving together, working together, being an example to our children together, so they can see that this is a real thing. It's not just a sideshow. It's reality. And it kind of segues right into what we're going to talk about next week, and that is having time for others. Our life needs to be invested, yes, in God, yes, in our family, but our life needs to be invested in others. Other people are important. Now, they're not as important as God, right? And they're not as important as our families, if you will, because we have to keep all that straight, but they are important. And let me just say this, they're more important than a lot of the things we waste time on. That's for sure. But all of this is meant to show us that there's a commitment that we need to make about time. Our time with God, our time with our families. And then next week we'll talk about our time with others.